Welcome to another episode of, well, actually, we changed the name now. It is no longer Civil Storm, or another one that I can't remember. It's now Two Men Screaming, or TMS, or Sudden Infant Death Syndrome, or something like that.
Shouting.
Two Men yes. Shouting. You got it. That was Tommy correcting me on the title.
We didn't even get the name right.
We do, because I've changed it like three times. But, oh, yeah, we have a new sponsor, the Republican National Committee, which...
Whoa. Hold on. I didn't hear about this. Yeah. You didn't tell me about this.
Their tagline is, we don't want women doing what we don't tell them to do. I'm just kidding. No.
We're not actually sponsored by anyone, but that invitation that I...
Open invite for the Republican...
For Ben's Chili Bowl to sponsor us. Give us some chili dogs. It's standing. So if you guys ever want to accept that...
Yeah.
Please.
We like Cosby, and we like Obama, and so I know that...
Well, you like Cosby. I find him a little bit old at this point.
He's a little old. He's fun. I've seen him do stand-up, but what he really does is sit down.
And kind of makes some noises with his mouth.
Sit down. Yeah. So, not a whole lot of news this week exactly, but there was...
There was a big dinner thing, right?
The Correspondents' Dinner, which is basically... when all the politicians and news media make asses of themselves thinking that they're actually funny. And then you actually have a real comedian MC it.
Well, I found out that most of the proceeds actually go to a charity.
Yeah. It's not like a bad thing. And when you have sort of like weird galas and balls like this, because everybody's wearing like tuxedos and gowns. And I mean, like, it feels a little weird in sort of times of recession and times of bad economy. But... I don't know. It felt classy enough without being like ostentatious or just
as ostentatious as gatherings with tuxedos. And
yeah, exactly. And like they even made points about that. Like Obama brought it up, but really, like I mean, like Jimmy Kimmel had some funny stuff. He did. He goes on after the president.
He was the main act.
But Obama, honestly, I thought was funnier than Kimmel. Like he had some ridiculous stuff where like
Jimmy Kimmel made a joke that I liked.
Oh, Jimmy, was it where he high-fived Obama? Because there's some point where he's like, I get to high-five the president, and they high-fived each other.
No, there was a point at which he made a joke about Obama only having one term.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was the best joke.
Where he said, like, hey, Obama, there's a term for you. Probably not two terms, but there's a term. And I did think that was really fucking funny.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. And then Obama made references to eating dog. He said something about White House. I think he said something about the White House serving dog or something like that.
He did. He was talking about Pitbull. His dad always said it was a boy-eat-dog world.
Yes.
I did read
and
that.
And he also... who's the guy who plays the fat gay guy in Modern Family? Because he was
got
there.
It. I don't know.
He was there, and basically Obama called him out, but he called him Marcus Bachman.
Ouch.
Which, you know, is Michelle Bachman.
He's put a little weight on, since Michelle got out of the race.
He was always fat. Don't even kid about it. But that's not, what's funny is that he's like weirdly and overtly homoerotic. Like every time you see him, he's doing something weird. And he's always like, in the context of the fact that he runs a psychiatric, like, I guess, firm or whatever. He has like some sort of like thing where he basically teaches people not to be gay. That's part of his therapy.
Well, he tells people that they're not gay and they believe him.
Maybe that's how... That would be a really easy way to make money, but I think there's probably more to it.
Well,
like,
what's the difference?
Where he slaps you around a little bit and maybe rapes you and then tells you you're not gay.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Exactly, because he's probably gay.
Well, hold on. You're making an assumption that he's gay just because he runs...
Well, that was the joke, though. That was Obama's joke, was that he was gay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no,
and
okay.
I thought that was a bit of a line pusher, actually, because, like... Yeah, like people like Colbert and Bill Maher make those jokes about Marcus Bachman, but like for Obama to do it, I don't know. I almost thought it was over the
line.
Well,
you want to know who was there that
but
appreciated
I love to push
a joke from Obama?
What?
I'm not sure how I feel about this. Rick Santorum was in the crowd.
Oh, he was? I actually missed that.
Rick Santorum was in the crowd, and at one point Obama made a joke on Romney. I don't remember exactly what it was, but Rick Santorum like gave him like, you know, the fist bump in the air thing.
Well, the thing is, I think Rick Santorum's a lot cooler than he wanted to let on. There was that point where he like actually called the media bullshit for something, and I was like, all right, he seems like a human now. He actually got angry and cursed, and he doesn't seem like this weird sort of right-wing religious nut that everybody... I mean, like, he might be a little bit, but, like, you know, he married a woman who's had abortions. He's obviously not, like, you know, a fundamentalist.
No.
Yeah. I mean,
no,
like,
he did come across that way.
The media really played him like that.
Well, the reason he came across that way, not only, you know, did the media kind of portray him that way, maybe. But also, he didn't ever have written speeches.
I know.
All of his speeches were off the cuff.
Which was a terrible idea. Because terrible then, idea, then you end up
goes off on
then you end up
like
saying, like, Kennedy makes me want to vomit. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? One of our greatest presidents makes you want to throw up?
Well, how do you know he wasn't talking about Ted? Who would make
me
vomit?
No, he was. Because he was specifically talking about the inaugural address that... that Kennedy gave.
Well,
where he basically, where he was talking about how religion shouldn't lead. Yeah,
that was close.
He was talking about, basically, this was Kennedy. Actually, I don't know if it was the inaugural address. It might have actually been the like one of his campaign speeches. But he basically said that the Pope will not dictate what I do in government.
Well, you know how people have made comments.
And St. Torum said that made him want to vomit. I'm like, you probably don't mean that, but you're an idiot who doesn't write down his speeches.
Yeah, honestly, in this day and age, you can't go off on tangents, otherwise you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, because you'll say something that can be easily taken the wrong way. And, I mean, like, believe me, I'm sure there are tons of policies I didn't agree with. But, like, you know, you can't pretend that, you know, these candidates weren't treated unfairly.
Well, an interesting point, you know, if we bring up Kennedy, is that a lot of people, when they're talking about old presidents, say that nowadays they probably would be rejected by their party.
I would say Reagan, definitely.
Reagan would
there's
be
no
rejected
way Reagan
by
would
his
have,
party.
There was no way Reagan would have survived. It's funny, in a party that all they do every campaign is say, I love Reagan. And it's like, well, Reagan probably wouldn't have liked you.
Well, you know.
And no, it's not even about that. It's that Reagan isn't anything like you. So why are you
saying
that?
Well, people talk about how Kennedy is, you know, like you know, historical Democrat, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at the Democrats from when Kennedy was president and now, it's just so vastly different.
It is very different. Religion's a lot more far removed from the Democrats than it used to be.
Yeah.
It's a lot more about secularism, which I don't think is a bad thing. It's just it's a very different party culturally now.
Well,
like,
I think religion has been sidelined by the media.
Well, I think what happened is that a lot of the Christians that were on the side of the Democrats slowly became cultural Christians, where they don't really practice, but they still consider themselves Christians. You know, and that's why we get a lot of polls where they say, like, 80% or 70% of Americans are Christians, but like, or at least religious. And that's not really true. It's that they culturally identify with those morals and stuff, and they were raised that way, but they really don't bother.
If we restrict it to active practicing in a religion, you could probably cut out a lot of everybody. Like, I bet there are some guys in there out there who are like, yeah, I'm Buddhist, but they totally don't practice Buddhism.
I mean, how do you fucking practice Buddhism
anyway?
Tommy
just raised his hand.
Yeah.
For those of you out in the audience can't see. Are you Buddhist, Tommy?
Yes, probably. I am.
Nice.
In a way.
It's a good philosophy.
In a way.
Well, I don't think that Buddhism, you know, now we're talking about it, is really can be totally separate.
My knowledge of Buddhism is all from watching 9 years in Tibet.
Seven years in Tibet with Brad Pitt,
and they're trying to. I remember that scene. Yeah, I remember they're trying to. There's that scene where they're digging the movie theater for the Dalai Lama, who was like a kid or something, and they just kept stopping every 10 minutes to save worms in the dirt because every little bit of life is sacred. I was like, all right, that's Buddhism, and that's what I took away from that movie.
I don't really practice
the worms
all
are
the
sacred.
Time, like. Today I was taking a walk and there were a lot of caterpillars around on the path and I made a point not to step on them because I know the caterpillars eventually become beautiful butterflies. But I saw a spider too. I killed that motherfucker. Killed him dead.
Nature wanted those things to survive. They would have built them with like some sort of hard titanium shell.
And they'd build them a lot bigger.
Yeah, they'd build them a lot bigger, like a couple stories high.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
They'd be able to kill humans.
They wouldn't build them the size of my shoe so that I could step on them really easily.
Well, a spider the size of your shoe is still pretty big.
Yeah, but I can crush it because it's just the size of my shoe.
And it doesn't really have any kind of hard skeleton, like, made out of metal
that
can resist you.
It's soft, like a shoe.
Well, now that we've exhausted our, our insect.
Insects are like shoes. That's a metaphor.
Why is it a metaphor? You gotta explain this to me now.
Because Orson Welles probably said it at some point.
Good enough. Orson Welles said it. I'm sold. All right.
That's what I thought.
Moving on to our next topic.
Oh, next topic. I wanted to talk about John Edwards.
John Edwards, yeah.
What a creep. He's so gross. Isn't he gross?
He is. He's disgusting.
He's a dude who cheated on his wife while in the middle of a presidential campaign, and then eventually a vice presidential campaign, while she had horrible debilitating cancer.
And she's dead.
And, well, Not no. But the whole like way it went though was she found out that he was cheating on her and also had a son with the woman.
But he originally denied it. He denied.
He did deny it. He did deny it for a while. That was his son. And he denied it for a while. And guess what? He's incredibly guilty of something that's not illegal, which is cheating on your wife. It's not. It's not against the law. Yet he's in court right now for something, which one is completely not provable. I don't think because. Basically, he's going to court now because they say that he used his campaign funds to pay off the woman that he had the affair with, and the husband of the woman he had the affair with, who was his like campaign advisor.
Wait,
or something.
So that woman who had his kid was married?
Yeah,
wow,
married to one of his campaign workers.
Holy,
who he paid them both off. They both knew about the affair. He paid them both off and said, "Take care of this kid." Or that's what the prosecutor says. But yeah. What really happened?
Do you know what really happened?
No, I don't know what really happened. The guy who's making these claims is the husband, and right. He had a pretty solid story in the beginning, and it's slowly sort of falling apart. Before the case even started, he contradicted himself over and over again. And so, like, my whole thing is now. We really just want to somehow punish this guy because he's really gross.
Well,
and
I
awful,
thought he was already punished.
Well, he was. I mean, he lost his campaign.
He was humiliated for the entire country.
He was divorced. His wife then was like a hero until she died, and she probably is still sort of a hero to a lot of feminists now because like she was dying and she still saw it fit to divorce this guy who's a complete creep. So good for her. But the thing is, now, as a society, we feel like we need to somehow punish him even more for this. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, he doesn't deserve it, but it's just, like, legally, in you know, the eyes of, like, sort of, you know, justice, well, he doesn't really, we don't owe any punishment to him.
Well, this is exactly
he didn't do
like,
anything illegal. We just want him to have.
This is exactly like the Secret Service thing, where the Secret Service agents, you know, we talked about this last week.
Well, no, they didn't do anything illegal either.
They didn't do anything illegal, and yet they're being morally crucified, essentially.
I'm on the side of maybe making a few of them resign who are really culpable because they did have the president's itinerary on them, and that's just, I mean,
it's not safe.
I don't care how classic Hooker
it's
is.
It's not safe.
She could still be, what do they call it, honey badger. She could still be a honey badger, which is the American term for Russian spies that were sent in as whores, I think.
Oh. Jed's saying that's correct.
Anyway, I love the term honey badger because I feel like it's also like a porn term too. So
it's also a vicious mammal.
So yeah, it's also a scary, scary
but
animal.
That brings
but
you know, me.
You're never going to have a children's book about a honey badger.
No, because they're so
for multiple reasons, yeah.
But that, you know, the story about John Edwards, the story about the Secret Service brings to mind the problems that we're experiencing now with the 24-hour new media
regurgitation.
It's
even more though because the 24-hour stuff's been around for a decade, but now we have the internet, which is even worse.
We have Twitter, which is the worst thing to ever happen to politics.
Yeah, somehow you can cram 48 hours of news into one day now. I don't even know how that's possible, but I feel like the internet does it.
It's
really
not possible.
Well.
That's
yeah.
why I don't watch the news very yeah. much.
Well, like what I usually do is while I'm working on other things or playing on my computer. I'll actually have Fox News on in the background. And I don't know why.
Because you love Fox News.
I love it. I love it. And
it's awesome.
I love it less now that Glenn Beck's off the air. Because I will not fucking pay. I think he wants $4.95 a month for Glenn Beck television.
Well, that's not bad. That's less than what Netflix wants.
Yeah, but guess what? Most people that do podcasts, because let's get this straight. He's just making a very gussied up whore of a podcast.
It's a video podcast.
It is a video. And he has a lot of other people on. And it's
he calls it a TV channel.
He does call it a TV channel, but it's only on a website. And it should be free. It should be free. Zafrank doesn't charge me to watch his hilarious stuff, and he does a video. So why should Glenn Beck charge me? I was watching his shit for free on Fox News for years.
Well, he's not on Fox anymore.
I know.
I'm sure there's not another. Oh, maybe Current TV. They could use another big star, right?
Oh my God, Keith Olbermann. It's not old because something recent happened. I do want to get into Keith Olbermann
I just want to mention something funny.
When Jimmy Kimmel was on doing, I don't know if you read most of Jimmy Kimmel's speech at the end, but basically he was riffing on everybody. He riffed on every single person like there, but he also was like, hey, is Keith Olbermann here? He's like, oh no, I guess the limo wouldn't pick him up. And he's like, I heard he's hard to work with. Now, if everybody wants to look under your chairs, there you will find a Keith Olbermann resume. You know, if you just want to hire him, you know, that would be awesome. it was like really, really sort of mean berating, but it was like all in good fun because like he was fucking with everybody. And then Keith Olbermann apparently today said something. I don't know who, he might have tweeted it or something. He's like,
was it something ridiculous?
It was something about how apparently Jimmy Kimmel was begging to have Keith Olbermann on his show just a week before. And so he feels like he's being attacked because he didn't go on the show. And I was like, no, you're being attacked because you are the Glenn Beck of the left now. No, you're a pariah that nobody wants to touch.
Yes, but he's not successful. He doesn't have
No, it's
own,
true. It's
he
true.
He doesn't have his own web TV
It's true.
Thing.
People actually work for Glenn Beck now. He has a company where, and you don't even hear a lot of these people actually, two of the reporters for GBTV have appeared on Bill Maher's
and
Real
also
Time,
on
and
MSNBC.
They're actually intelligent. Like, they're a little weird in their whole... They're like libertarians to a crazy extreme, but they weren't awful. And I can't imagine anybody working with Keith Olbermann.
So,
are you looking it up?
Jimmy Kimmel, I looked it up. Jimmy Kimmel said... He also said that Olbermann... No, this is on Huffington Post.
Oh, he probably replied to it.
He burned more bridges than the arsonist of Madison County and has more pink slips than Marcus Bachman.
Yeah, oh, another gay Bachman joke.
But... Olbermann quickly responded, comparing Kimmel to his arch nemesis, Bill O'Reilly. Funny that Kimmel ripped me after his people desperately wanted me to fly to L.A. to be on a show this past Wednesday. He added, I'm not complaining about the Kimmel jokes. I'm fair game. I'm complaining about the revenge element. It reminds me of O'Reilly.
Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel is nothing like O'Reilly. That's almost offensive in that statement. Like, it's funny. I watch a lot of Fox News, but no way do I actually endorse anything they say. I watch it because it's hilarious. Like, that's why I watch it. I don't know if I, like, phrase it that way, but it's just, it's like, it's almost like watching The Daily Show 24/7. It's really, like, they always say crazy shit, and they're always somehow, like, blaming, like, somebody who's worse off than them for all their problems. And it's absurd. It's an absurd channel, and I love that it exists. Because if it didn't exist, I probably wouldn't have something to watch for half the day.
Well, do you ever watch The Five? That show
I do, and we had a conversation about how
we talked
you didn't know who Eric Bowling was.
I looked him up actually.
He is insane.
Hilarious is what he is. He's hilarious.
He's the second coming of Glenn Beck, if you want to say hilarious, because in his stupid opinions he's funny. Like in his like complete inane like rants about the Chevy Volt,
he's funny. He's like Bob Beckel. Okay, Bob Beckel exists. As a foil.
He's a straw man, yeah. He's basically somebody who says these things and has no ability to defend himself. But Eric Bowling somehow defends himself because then you have Greg Gutfeld back behind him.
The entire basis of the show is hilarity.
Is the team up against Bob Beckel. Yeah, I mean, that's the point. And then you get Bob Beckel.
But Bob Beckel likes it.
Bob Beckel's basically this guy who... He worked for the Democratic Party for years and years, writing speeches for all of them. And he's essentially a drunken lecher. And he curses all the time, and he's basically the worst person you could put in as a Democrat to represent Democrats on Fox News.
Somehow, I'm sure you honestly, can find someone worse.
Well, they asked Juan Williams, and he's like, I can only go on every so often.
Well,
so,
Juan Williams is serious. He's a serious Democrat.
He's not.
He's not?
He is not at all.
Why are you hating on Juan Williams, man?
Juan Williams is awful. Because,
why is he awful?
Because as soon as one program cut him off, he just started bashing the entire media system. And it's like, you know what? They're not left or right.
He's jaded.
He's jaded. He's become jaded because he's paid by Fox News. I don't think that affects the value
of his opinions.
It does. Oh, God.
Why does it affect the value of his opinions?
Who you're taking your money from affects how credible you are. And he's taking his money from Fox News, and he's constantly shot down. I don't think I've seen an argument where he's actually put out a point that a normal Democrat would put out.
He's come out on a lot of the recent news.
Not saying I'm a Democrat. I'm a registered liberal, not a Democrat.
You can register as a liberal? You can?
You can't.
Oh, well, I can't register as a conservative, so that sucks.
Yeah. I derailed that whole thing.
Yeah, well,
but no,
you know what?
Bob Beckel's
a rat hole.
Bob Beckel's a bitch. Juan Williams is a bitch. Now, I think there is one real Democrat, and you'll be surprised by this. Geraldo.
Really? Well, he got rejected.
What is he called? Geraldo. What a bitch.
He got rejected by, what was it?
By everybody.
Or CNN?
Everybody. Nobody wanted him.
Who was it? He was on a channel
but
before,
but he's interesting,
was,
and he's really good at sensationalism. He's really good at blowing shit out of proportion.
Have you seen...
Which is all Fox News does. So they're like, why not get a liberal to do it too?
Well, why not?
Exactly. And
it's going to make money. And that's
like,
what these people are
And he's
for.
not... incredibly liberal, which is actually why I kind of like him more. He's really just liberal when it comes to the social policies, and especially when it comes to race. And I think that's why I can relate to him a little more. I think he's still a complete schmuck, but, you know.
Whatever. You know, the problem is, for me, it's hard to find a good conservative who doesn't sound fucking crazy to the rest of the world.
I have many, many friends. You're one of them. You know, there are smart conservatives out there. It's just, they aren't loud. They somehow have this, like, disability where they talk very softly and they don't get on TV enough or something.
Stop messing stuff up.
There's this one girl, she sort of looks like a hipster. I can't believe I can't remember her name. She works for Glenn Beck, but she's also, like, on MSNBC and a few other shows a lot. And she's a conservative who is constantly actually, and, you know, this is going to surprise you. She's a conservative pundit who tells the truth. She admitted, I think she was actually on Bill Maher this last week, and I wish I could remember her name. She wears, like, glasses. She's got, like, long sort of black hair, blackish brown hair.
Yeah.
And when they were...
Is it S.E. Cupp?
I don't know. I don't know her name. I'm sorry. This is the worst description.
It's not important.
It's not important. But this is sort of gets on to why I can't fucking stand Mitt Romney right now. And it's because Bill Maher basically brought up the fact that... When he was talking to her, he brought up the fact that basically Mitt Romney had specifically said that he would not have invaded Pakistan to get bin, or he would have somehow found another way to do it, I think he said, because he didn't want to invade Pakistan because it's a sovereign nation to get bin Laden, which Obama made the call to do, and guess what? We got a dead bin Laden now.
I honestly believe that Romney says that.
He might have been more of a pragmatist in practice.
He would have gone in.
Well, okay. So what really the point, I guess, that he was making was he didn't want to agree with Obama. And that's even worse, though. Yeah, it's that's stupid.
Because, when you look at this, if you're president of the United States and you have a chance to kill the motherfucker that killed over 3,000 Americans.
Thousands of people. Over 3,000 Americans. In the middle of one of our greatest cities. Yeah, just fucking
in
murder.
In New York City.
Yeah.
You go and get him. There should be no question. I'm sure Obama got the order or got the info and was like, we're going to kill this motherfucker.
All right. And then the other point he made that Mitt Romney was against, too, I don't know exactly where you stand on this, but that Mitt Romney would have never bailed out GM. And Obama did, and now GM is around, and GM would not have been around if he didn't do it. So, Bin Laden would have been alive, GM would have been dead if Mitt Romney were president at the same time. And then basically this woman, I wish I could remember her name, because she's actually, like, really interesting, and kind of hot, actually, I don't know. But...
it sounds like S.E. Cupp. I'm going to look her up.
Maybe? Just look at, like, I guess somebody who works for Glenn Beck and also is in fucking, you know.
Is this her?
That's her, yeah.
That's S.E. Cupp.
Okay, so you know her.
S.E. Cupp is, yeah.
She's actually intelligent. Yes. And I wish there were more.
She went to Columbia.
Oh, she did go to Columbia?
Yeah, she's really smart.
Well, there you go. A lot of smart people at Columbia that aren't communists. Surprise.
Well, no. So, the GM thing.
Yeah, okay, so what do you stand on that?
If GM had failed.
Yeah, it would have gone into bankruptcy.
I would have definitely, well, let's say the government bailed out GM and GM.
It would have gone into, Chapter 11, yeah.
Which is basically where our company is trying to save itself.
And it basically has to liquidate everything, all its assets, yeah.
Now, if the government had bailed out GM and GM had failed,
yeah,
as a company, I would have been totally, you fucked it up. It sucks.
Yeah. Republicans would have jumped on him saying, why didn't
totally,
you do this?
And they would have been right to
if he didn't do it.
Now, I think that GM... as a company that's now successful, I think I was listening to a radio.
I think we're down to only 20% of them.
Yeah, 20% ownership,
which
stake.
Is amazing. It's fucking amazing. I mean, like, I wish we could sell more of it, but we can't afford to right now.
Yeah. So now that GM is more successful,
yeah,
like you can say, okay, that's fine. Now we can't really predict what would have happened if GM failed. Probably the car company would have gone away.
Yeah.
Never been another manufacturer.
I mean, it's like economists trying to tell the weather. It doesn't fucking happen.
You just can't know.
Yeah.
You can't know what would have happened if plan B had happened instead of plan A.
But I think you can make very good educated guesses. Like you can make with the stimulus too.
Well, yeah. I look at it like this. GM has not failed.
Yeah.
I don't like that the government owns any part of it.
No, believe me, I'm not for that either. I'm a capitalist.
I want the government to sell their last 20%. Yeah. I'm glad that we're only down to 20%. I want the government to get rid of it. I want it to be its own company and make its own decisions.
Definitely.
And all that.
Well, it makes its own decisions. Well, all the government did was
a lot of reports last year, this is a while ago, that GM was being influenced by the Treasury Department and other...
They might have pressured them in some direction, but guess what? They aren't the ones pumping out a green
there's
car.
There's only... There's one car by GM...
Ford is doing that
shit. ...that I don't like. There's one...
Chevy, yeah.
Chevy is making the Chevy Volt, right?
Which is a great car. I have a friend who has it. It's
$42,000.
It's expensive. I agree.
Plus,
it's
too expensive. You get the $7,000.
And it's subsidized by the government.
Subsidy after it. Yeah. But it's so expensive. Now, have you heard of this company called Fisker? They're making an electric car. It's called the Karma. The Fisker Karma. Now, this is a $100,000 sports car.
Yeah.
That's entirely electric. Subsidized by our government.
That's great.
It's not great.
What do you mean? We've always subsidized industries that we thought were the future. We subsidized the railroads. Are you saying that Lincoln shouldn't have done that shit?
No, I'm not saying
that. That's how we got into the South and killed them all, because we had trains.
And we had more guns.
But we also had the trains, and we also got slaves out of there with those trains. So guess what? Trains were a pretty good thing. Why can't we rescue slaves? The Chevy Volt could rescue slaves.
I'm trying to explain something to you. Not about the Chevy Volt, about the Fisker Karma.
All right, the Fisker.
It's a $100,000 sports car that it doesn't rescue slaves.
It might. It's part of the Underground Railroad. I can see it.
What, the Mexican Underground Railroad?
Yeah, we're going to rescue immigrants.
The human trafficking Underground Railroad? You're just making shit up.
There's some pretty bad Underground Railroad.
No,
I agree.
No, the Fisker Karma is a waste of our government's money, because we should be making an electric car that regular people can buy.
How much is the car?
It's $100,000.
Okay. Well, the Tesla, we are subsidizing the Tesla too.
Thing's like $200,000.
No. The Roadster, was it the Roadster? That was $100,000. They are making a sedan that's going to be $30,000, which is the cheapest one that would be on the market. Although, the dude who runs that company...
Well, how much is the Nissan?
The dude who runs that company is a complete retard. He's ruining his company because he can't stop, like, just spending money on space shit.
Space shit?
He also owns SpaceX.
Oh, but SpaceX is actually...
It's doing...
Right in the market for it's creating
perfect
the new program.
Yeah, because
to get us into space.
Yeah, you have Virgin Space, and you have SpaceX. And they're both, like, doing a really good job of sort of opening up space for America again. I love that. I could see in, like, maybe another decade, maybe in less than that, we'll be riding commercial, NASA will be purchasing rides on commercial,
it's going to be a lot cheaper than what we're paying the Russians right now.
Oh,
we're paying the Russians like $60 million.
We're paying the Russians $60 million, and we're not even there. We're not even doing it in Russia. We're then going and paying Kazakhstan to do it in their country, because I guess Kazakhstan is a better place for that. I don't really know why the fuck we're in Kazakhstan. I don't know. But anyway, I think NASA's on the right path, though. Using capitalism to sort of guide the space industry when before it was completely paid by the government. It's funny. Some places I fall on subsidies, and some places I'm like, you know what? Let's let these companies make spaceships.
With NASA,
It's so expensive.
It's not.
What do you mean?
It's not. We've paid NASA the same amount of money for the last, like, 30 years.
Which is why we've been using spaceships from the 70s.
But this is my point.
We haven't made a new spaceship since the 70s.
Do you know how much NASA's funding was in, like, 2008? That's the last year we have, I think, numbers for them.
$16
billion.
Which is incredibly low when you compare it to a lot of other shit we're doing.
That's peanuts.
That's less than we're giving to Pakistan, I think.
Why can't we give NASA more money, give a country like Pakistan, who isn't really our ally anymore, by the way.
They're sort of like jackasses who take our money and then fund all their Secret Service shit.
Now, I'm not saying that this competition for the new type of rocket, the new type of space vehicle, is bad, because I think it's good. But
you want government competition involved?
No. Oh. I want the government to run everything. Once we pick who's going to be the next ship, why don't we own that?
Why do you want the government to run that?
We have been successful.
There are companies who now want to mine asteroids for rare metals.
That's amazing.
I don't think the government would have any interest in that.
No. I'm not saying the government should take over space.
Okay.
I'm saying that NASA and what they do in terms of developing new technologies for space, for space exploration, I think we need to keep them doing that. Because, honestly, with companies going to space isn't cheap, right? It Developing isn't. Technology to go to space isn't cheap.
Billions and billions and billions of dollars, which we
With
don't
companies
have.
That are innovating new technology, I think the government needs to integrate that because yeah. space is so expensive that only the government can afford to spend
it's
money.
It's true, there. Because we're a government of like things, with an enormous GDP, we pull in trillions of dollars.
Yes.
I mean, like, a company... What company pulls in trillions of dollars? None.
No. None. No company.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you on the fact that we have more capital than any company would ever have.
But I think that of all the stuff we can be spending money on as a government, yeah. NASA makes sense. It makes sense for the government to spend money.
What are we going to do once we get to Mars? What the fuck are we
going
to do?
I'm not saying we're going to Mars.
It's fun. It's a fun thing to think about. But
we're not going to do anything.
Mars never makes
us
money. Nothing the government's going to do in space is going to make us money. The companies are going to make us money in space because tourism, because of commercialism.
Because of mining.
I want it to be like in Futurama where they build a goddamn theme park on the moon. I would go to the moon to go to like Disney Moon or something.
Well, I think eventually, this is just me thinking that the moon is eventually going to be our launching point for other adventures.
Alien assaults,
what...
It's the only way the planet's gonna unite.
What planets?
America. The planet.
America's not a planet.
We will be soon.
You're just creating, you're just making stuff up.
I'm a futurist, Patrick.
Tell me, how do I look?
I look into the future.
I look okay? Okay.
What?
I'm feeling a little flush.
Oh, you don't look
I've had
you're
a
sick?
Lot of beer.
Are you sick?
You look like you're struggling a little bit.
Oh, you're sick?
I'm not struggling. I'm not struggling, but I definitely feel it.
So... Let's move on. There's a really funny story in the news, and I want to make sure that I tell it right. But basically, in Poland, there's news around the world.
Brandon told me this story.
Yeah, I already mentioned the story earlier. I don't know if I told Tommy, but basically what happens is this guy breaks up with his girlfriend in Poland. Then he gets a toothache. She happens to be a dentist. He goes to her office, makes an appointment to get his toothache looked at. He goes in. She puts him under heavy anesthesia. Then, boom, he wakes up, he has no teeth. She pulled out every single one of his fucking teeth. He has no teeth left. When he wakes up, she sort of acts surprised and says, like, hey, there's a complication. You're gonna need to see a specialist now. that's funny enough that she just sort of bullshitted him. It's like, yeah, somehow all your teeth get pulled out during your appointment. But then, apparently... At the end of the story, they say that his current girlfriend broke up with him because he had no teeth.
Well, and I think that's he's fucking probably hilarious. A horror of nature.
No, like,
without any
first,
teeth.
What a retard to like, right after you break up with your girlfriend, go to her practice and think somehow she's going to, be good. Like, I've seen Seinfeld. I know what happens when you're in anesthesia.
Well, hold on. Let me tell you about...
You wonder if your shirt was tucked in or not when you wake up and you're like, I don't know. I can't remember. That's why I don't go to the dentist anymore.
You know, when I was in high school and I was dating a girl, I broke up with her, and I thought the next day, hey, everything's going to be fine because I clearly
explained
myself.
Because you're a retard in high school.
And it's in high school.
Yeah.
And of course things weren't fine. This chick hated me. And for this guy to assume as an adult that when you break up with someone, they're going to be okay with it the next day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the next week.
It's really like somebody wrote a New Age Polish joke. I didn't even... My grandpa stopped telling those. I can't believe that the Polish are still acting them out. That's what's so sad about this.
They
actually fucking do this.
It's really sad. I feel bad for the guy.
So,
but I don't, because he was an idiot who went to his ex-girlfriend as a dentist.
It's true. So, Patrick, do you have any good stories? Because mine was just a sad, pathetic story about
good
Polish
stories.
People.
Well, I haven't honestly found anything.
I mean, we could talk about some darker stories, too.
Oh, well, there is the one story I told you about earlier a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you mentioned something.
There was a story on, it's this website called...
Oh, please tell me, Drudge Report.
No.
No, damn.
It's this website, it's a blog called Kit Up. It's by a website called military.com.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, I do remember this.
I told you about this. And the name of the article is DOD seeks corporate sponsorship, Copenhagen Budweiser already on board. So
which
basically,
is awesome. Which is awesome.
Basically, it's a joke story
just
to tell everyone in the audience this is not a real story.
It's a reputable paper.
It's
like The Onion.
So basically, it's about how the military's budget has been cut recently. We all have heard about that.
Yay! Because we're bloated.
Because, well, it's a big budget.
Yeah.
Well, we're fighting one war now.
When somebody like Alan West says you're retarded not to look at certain cuts in military spending, then you know you're retarded because that dude is obsessed with the
and
military.
And he's former military.
And he was almost dishonorably discharged for torturing people. But
he wasn't.
But he wasn't because he resigned. That's it.
I think you're making shit up.
No, it happened. He really tortured people.
Anyway.
But yeah, I'm not saying he's a terrible fan. Yeah.
It's a real shame when we can't spend all the money we want anymore, said General Raymond Elliott. So I figured, let's try something different. Elliott proposed a novel idea to the Joint Chiefs and the President. Corporate sponsorship. So basically the idea yeah. was that you get corporate sponsors to pay for the stuff that we don't really want to pay for anymore. So there were two they mentioned, Copenhagen and Budweiser.
Yeah.
They mentioned about putting a Copenhagen logo on every military uniform. So now it's the military sponsored by Copenhagen and basically giving
them. They're all like getting free dip too.
They are. They are. That was part of the deal, free dip. Give them free cans of dip.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Copenhagen would put their
dip
logo
is
on.
But I go off on a tangent. Dip is the worst shit in the world.
I've never tried it.
I tried it once. I was drunk off my ass. And one of my friends, this is in like Columbus. I was really surprised because I thought like dip was more of a southern thing, but this is in Ohio. One of my friends was like, "Hey, you should try this," because like he dipped all the time, like when I lived with him in the dorms, and like this was outside of that.
And it's
I
like just painful.
Tried. And it's, well, one like it's like an insane amount of nicotine. Like it's obscene how much must be in there.
It's a ridiculous head rush.
Because yeah, it shot up to my head. I had to sit down. I was like standing outside. I just sat down on like cold cement because I was like I can't stand up. And then I just vomited a ton. Because it was like I swallowed a little bit of the spit.
That sounds like the last time I smoked a really heavy cigar.
And I was already drunk, so like it didn't help it. Oh yeah.
I mean, well, there's your problem.
Well, I love heavy cigars. I can handle a cigar. Like I actually like them robusto, as they call it. Yeah. But I like the dip is like a combination of fiberglass, rat poison,
and
like
some
anus
tobacco.
Juice, and a little bit of a little pinch of tobacco with anus.
But yeah,
with
it's
anus
definitely
juice.
fiberglass and tobacco.
The fiberglass is real.
I'm starting to lose my composure here.
The fact that this fiberglass is in there is so that it creates a divot in your gum that it sticks into. They want to make sure that
and
it
the tobacco
sticks.
Goes directly into your bloodstream.
You sort of put it between your front lip and your gum, and if you see anybody who does it a lot. They actually have a divot in their gum that it's burned through. And I had a friend who was so bad, you could almost see the bone in his teeth.
Oh, that's gross.
You could see, like, right down
there.
That
is really
effed up. You could see, like, it's like, why do you guys do this so much? Oh, man, I almost want to tell a really gross dip story that I... you good? All right. I'm done. All right, I thought Tommy had fallen asleep.
Yeah, we were afraid.
But, this is another story about another guy I knew in college in Columbus who dipped. And I'm sorry, I'm going off on this tangent.
Yeah, you're going off on a real tangent here.
I love dip stories for some reason. There was this girl who was doing...
A girl, oh God.
Who was doing... She was in one of the rooms in our dorm, and she was, you know, doing probably certain illegal or illicit things with the guy she was with. And she came out, and she's like, oh man, I'm so thirsty. And we're playing like SOCOM or Smash Brothers or something in one of the rooms. And one of my friends was dipping like crazy, and he was spitting into a Coke can. Or no, he was spitting into like one of those Coked, 16-ounce, bottles, see-throughs. And he got all the way up to like the top, and he just put it to the side, which is super nasty. It's just fucking filled with spit. And this girl comes in, and she's like, oh, I'm thirsty. And she's like, takes a swig of it. Like, she takes a big old chug, and you can just see the moment where she realizes that it is not Coke, and then she just vomits all over my friend's floor.
Dude.
It was the grossest, and it was like, that was around the time, I hadn't done dip at that point, and it was around the time I was like, I don't think I ever want to do it, because that just put me off of it, and, you know, it wasn't until I got pretty drunk that I ended up trying it, and it was a terrible experience. I don't recommend anybody to do it unless you know, have already started it, and that's probably pretty awesome, but...
It's a horribly addictive habit.
Yeah.
I had a buddy in college who dipped. He was a chain smoker. He decided he was going to go to dip because we worked with the police.
Yeah.
And cops dip all the time.
Yeah.
You can't smoke while you're on duty.
Yeah.
So they dipped, and he got onto it. And now, you know, when I was in my senior year, I would see him in the library, And he'd have exactly what you described, like a Coke bottle or a Gatorade bottle.
Yeah, they all carry and around empty cans
had
or
it,
something.
Had it, and you they know, just there was dip in it
they
all
fucking
the time.
Spit into it.
And he's so in gross. He's in the school library.
And
for
it doesn't even smell
while.
Good. I actually got used to that smell for a while because there'd be two people in my room at all times dipping and playing Smash Brothers or something. It's just so fucking gross.
But I'm gonna steer it back to the original point.
Okay, yes, let's go
and
back to your.
So
buddy
we talked
article.
About Copenhagen sponsoring military yeah. uniforms. Budweiser also said, "Hey, for every truck you put our emblem on,
yeah.
we will pay for its construction," which is a lot of money because
so,
the trucks that the military
yeah.
has built.
It's funny because it's almost
not cheap.
So possible that this could happen. Like, I don't think that the military would get sponsorships before American sports get sponsorships. I mean, we already sponsor like the 2 minute warnings and the halftime.
Yeah.
Shit, but we don't put sponsors on the uniforms like they do in like England and shit.
I think it's a little overdone, to be honest with
like,
you.
Our baseball uniforms.
It's like,
they're so,
it's like NASCAR
they're so
uniforms.
Open to, oh yeah. Well, the NASCAR is the only sport that does that. And I find that really interesting.
That's why they make so much money.
Yeah. I mean like, it, I'm sure that's the only reason they're still around because you can't run a sport on only half the country. You have to run it on a bigger chunk than that.
Yeah.
And I think like only like, not everybody, because there are definitely car freaks all over the country. But I would say, you would agree, probably majority are in the South. And even that's not every Southerner watching NASCAR. It's just like a chunk of them. So like the only way to run a sport on that is if you find a way to make even more money.
And which then, is brilliant in my opinion.
Especially with the prices of gasoline. Like that NASCAR must be losing money left and right. So like they have to, like the endorsements work really well for them.
Well, but, I was looking at going to a NASCAR race this year just because I find it interesting.
I'm not trying to insult it, but it's like how I don't care about soccer either. It's just a boring ass sport.
Yeah, well, soccer even less happens.
Yeah, at least in soccer they don't run around in a circle. They just run back and
soccer,
forth.
In soccer they run around in a circle and when they feel like they need to, they fall down and hold their leg a little bit.
Well, that's the best. But what I really like is when somebody really causes them to fall down, like cleats first, headbutting, any of that. That's what I like.
And they cause blood.
I'm not saying I like soccer. God, blood. I don't want people to think I'm one of those guys.
But in NASCAR, yeah, you have guys driving around on an oval track, right?
And then when they crash, it's like, oh, that's awesome. I love the crashes. But then you're like, somebody just
but
died.
They no,
it's
no.
so fucked up.
The last time somebody died was Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah. Well, no. There was a recent guy.
It wasn't? Jed, who was it?
There was a very recent race.
Know?
Like last Jed year doesn't. At Daytona, somebody died.
No, they did.
Was it not Daytona?
Last year, no.
When was it then? Was it this year? Somebody died recently. You gotta look it up.
I'm looking it up.
There was definitely a recent death, and his team like finished the race for him or something like that. And I mean, like, it's weird because people will say, like, oh, I like to watch it for the crashes, but then like somebody dies, and you're like, well, that's really fucked up to say. Why would you say that? You can't be dead. You gotta have an opinion, Patrick.
What? Dude, I'm looking it up.
Well, I know, but I didn't ask you to look it up.
Dude, I've been fucking drinking a lot, okay?
You're obviously out of it. You're out of it.
My mind is not as sharp as it was when I first started.
I get it.
All right?
Yeah. At least I'm not, you know, going off into my own little world. I'm stuttering a lot and slurring all my speech.
Don't well, you? Well, I don't know if my speech is slurred. Tommy, has it gotten worse?
Slurred your speech.
I'm pretty fucked.
Jesus,
Tommy's Tommy, drunk too.
You're not. I know you told me you were gonna get drunk.
Thank God,
this podcast,
Jed's here to drive you home.
Dude, my job is to press record.
You're like Jed's gonna drive me. Oh, by the way, we have an audience today. I don't
know it's our first audience ever, apart from Tommy.
Yeah, we have Jed and Sarah, and they are here to participate in listening to our name babble.
Well, they, you know, Jed has spoken. Sarah has not spoken,
Sarah,
and she won't.
She shouldn't speak.
Just a little bit.
She shouldn't speak.
I'm very old school.
You've
like
been challenged now.
Yeah.
Well, the title.
Oh, she's.
Oh!
Two men
shouting.
Or shouting.
That
so.
Shouting or screaming or yelling.
Some kind of loud expletive.
Listen, that's just a jumping on point. Then anybody can scream or yell.
Well, because it's mainly us talking.
Well, yeah.
We are
so
shouting.
I think it's more.
Shouting,
we're the hosts.
And a scream.
Oh, and a girly scream. And that's Jed. Oh, I mean,
that was
Sarah
right then.
I know. Good. Yeah,
that was a good cover, I think.
It was a pretty good cover. So,
I want to. Are you out of topics?
I mean, I had only one other topic, but it's super dark, and I don't know if I could really make it funny. It was the topic about the guy who was a survivalist who murdered.
No, we don't
want to
talk about that. It's
hilarious. All right,
it's
let's
not
talk
hilarious.
About
it's depressing.
It's super depressing.
I want to talk about hockey.
Oh, okay.
Can we talk about hockey?
We can. We can talk about how the Capitals are going to completely destroy the Rangers.
First off. fuck you.
What?
Whoa. You said destroy. I was expecting him to say something negative, and I totally assumed
it. You told me fuck, whoa, man. When,
first did, off, did let ever me apologize. Look
like, did
let
it
me
ever
apologize.
Seem like somebody who would ever say anything bad about the Capitals? No.
Well, you disagree with me on a lot of things. I figure the Capitals are also...
No. I think we can agree on DC sports.
Well, did you hear that DC United is currently
DC
in a...
DC United.
DC United.
Soccer.
Hey, hold on. Let me finish. DC United, they have not been beaten in their last 7 games. They're on a 7-game streak of non-defeat. Some of those games are draws.
Do they play like 10 games out of a season or something? I don't know.
It's like 5.
so they played more games than they're supposed to this season already, is what you're
saying.
Well,
they want to pad their numbers a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
This is how much I like soccer.
They'll invite people from like South America to basically rape them. They'll be like, oh yeah, Guatemala, you want to come in here and just totally destroy us? Sure, why not? Because we're Americans and we can't play soccer.
Hey, Mia Hamm was a great soccer player.
Mia Hamm actually went to the high school I went to.
Lake Braddock?
Yeah, yeah.
She Lake Braddock? Yeah. Lake Braddock High School?
Yeah, she was from my high school.
I'm from Georgia. No one famous went to
no,
high school.
No. We also had Alan Johnson, the track runner.
Didn't Sandra Bullock go to a high school in Fairfax?
Yeah, she did. She did. She did, yeah. What?
Washington Lee.
Was it that one? Oh, yeah. I know she's from this area.
She's from Northern Virginia.
She's a good old Virginia girl.
Anyway, I'm going to get back on the topic of hockey.
Of course.
All right, so if you guys don't know, which most of you probably don't, based on demographics in the United States, hockey is an amazing sport.
Yeah.
Hockey is like the better part. It's like better than basketball and soccer. It's similar, but so much better than that.
Lots of fighting. I love
it. Lots of fighting. Lots of violence. And lots of epic goals. I mean, you think soccer has epic goals? Watch hockey. It's a little rubber puck.
We all love
going into a net. I want everybody who's listening to this podcast right now.
Oh, yeah. The wide audience.
All 5 of you.
Real girthy. I like
to watch.
Is that the right
hockey
term? Girthy?
Girthy?
Tumult.
You're making them sound fat.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just saying.
That's what
that
girthy means,
dude. Our audience is real tumulcent. Oh, no, wait.
Tumulcent.
That means boner.
I think you're making up words.
Thick. That's a real word.
He means thick. That's what
he means.
Our
thick
audience is real thick.
Thick
like
and
bacon.
Like delicious bacon.
Like
yeah,
thick
bacon.
Cut bacon.
Thick is the nice way to say you're fat.
No, it's not. Big bone is a nice way to...
No, thick is... Oh, thick does make you sound
no,
stupid.
No, I just say retard for that. Don't worry. That's the nice
oh
way. That's
oh,
my
so
nice...
you're not politically correct about being...
What are you talking about politically correct?
Well, some people are actually retarded.
Well,
they're mentally retarded
and some music
or physically retarded.
And some music compositions are actually retarded. What do you want?
It's to slow them down. Yeah,
exactly. Thank you, Jed. You understood.
Down.
Retard is not a mean word. It's just a term.
It's a term for somebody.
It's a term for something that's slow. No, not somebody, because it's used in music too.
Or too slow.
But it's spelled differently when you use it in music.
It's pronounced differently.
It's spelled the same. It's pronounced.
It's
you're right.
Retard.
I thought it was spelled with an I.
Thank all you music guys over here. I liked having you guys here backing me up.
Yeah.
But anyway, no. I call them retards.
Retards. That's right. Well, they deserve every fucking syllable of that word. Because
they've been retarded.
Nah. But, I mean, like, you know, fuck...
By God or by somebody else.
I think I'm one of the few, like, politically correct people. Guess what? I'm trying to be funny. I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings. You don't have to be politically correct to be funny.
Asshole.
Now, there are certain things...
I'm talking to the audience,
I'm too much of a bitch to say certain things that my race, you know, halts me from saying. So, I am a bitch in some ways, politically.
Is your brother worse than you in terms of being PC, or is he better?
Oh, he's worse. I think
he's worse.
PC.
Is
yeah
he super
he's
racist?
More. No, I'm saying PC's PC. In that he won't say anything over the line.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I am.
Tommy,
I'm the family's line pusher, I believe. I like to push the lines like Obama pushes the lines. Except I won't call Marcus Bachmann gay. I'll just think it really loudly.
There you go, Patrick.
Nice.
We got our time. Okay.
All right, I'm gonna go on the Daily Coast. Have you ever been on the Daily Coast?
Yeah, it's pretty delicious.
It's hilarious.
It's like a... Have you ever been on Salon.com?
Oh my God, I've heard of Salon.com.
I love that. I love it. Basically, it's like a conglomerate of people. It's not like a newspaper as much as it is like 100 people with blogs. And they're all incredibly, incredibly left-wing. To the point where like most of them are probably anarchists.
That sounds like
communists.
Breitbart.
What?
Sounds like the...
Oh, it's like Breitbart. It is. It's basically Breitbart. And the thing is, his... Salon.com was around first, and Breitbart came later.
Dude, there's something that's been hovering over the United States of America that we have not been talking about.
Ooh, what?
CISPA. The Cyber Intelligence Sharing
Effect. CISPA. Oh, nice. Yes.
Why have we not talked about it? I can't believe we forgot about this.
One, it seems like, doesn't it? Okay, so this is basically the reincarnation of
SOPA.
Of SOPA and what was that other one? Peepa.
Peepa, yeah.
Yeah, which were basically, you know, the let's destroy the internet bills. That's because yep. It was basically, let's take all creativity out. Because most creativity, let's be honest, in the internet comes out of somebody taking something copyrighted and then retooling it to make it hilarious, like a meme or something. And SOPA would have made, not just doing that illegal.
They would have made it a lawsuit, you would have been able to take, with
the way that SOPA was made, you would have actually been able to, no, not even without a lawsuit, you would have been able to take YouTube down if they had one copyrighted material on there that a company didn't like.
Yeah.
You would have been able to take it, I think it was like a board of people would have been able to vote on that and take it down. And that's absurd when you think about how. And I have a very, very strong belief in something that's real. It's pretty recent, maybe like a decade old or something, called net neutrality, which is basically that the most liberty we have in the entire world is through the internet. And as soon as you suddenly make something better than something else on the internet, like if you say it, like. Here's a good example of how net neutrality used to be thought of. Was like if, say, you had Verizon Fios, and suddenly Verizon decided that going to Google should be slower than going to Yahoo. They limited your bandwidth so that Yahoo searches somehow went faster. That is violating net neutrality because you're no longer letting the net be neutral. You're no longer letting the people use it be neutral.
And the point of CISPA,
yeah.
And the reason that you, as a human being, should call your congressman or senator. And
or Obama. Obama supports it.
Yeah, call the White House.
Fucking, like, I've said this before. If Obama really wants to pass a SOPA-like bill, I won't vote for him. I just will not do it. And I want everybody else to think that way, too. Because
you're talking about restricting the freedom.
It's the last bastion of freedom, yeah.
It is. It's the last bastion of totally free speech.
Yeah. And if you ever, ever give the government the right to regulate that, you're fucked. You just are.
You're also talking about the right for the government... Yeah. To take information from any website, like Facebook, for example, you can take, let's say the government decides that, hey, Facebook, you might be in trouble in terms of hacking.
Yeah.
We're going to need all of your user information.
Oh, yeah. And they'd have to give it over.
They don't have to.
Well, I mean, like,
under this bill, they would choose to. And the creepiest part of it is they don't have to tell you anything.
No.
They don't have to tell you anything. I can't believe we haven't talked about this today.
Because this is the most important topic that's been going on for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not sure when they're going to vote on it,
but like it's been out for about 2 weeks. I knew about it, but
I feel like it was passed by the House.
I don't know if it was. I know it's on the table right now, but I don't know if they've actually voted on it yet.
It was passed by the House.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Which makes me upset because
not enough people on the internet are being catalyzed by it right now. It's very strange because when SOPA was around, Google did the day of silence. Which sort of draws away from like the whole day of silence that the LGBT community used to do. But who cares? The internet's more important than them.
I remember when they ducked
the internet's
their
more
mouths.
Important than them.
The internet is more important
yeah,
than them.
Yeah, I actually
because the
I
internet
to,
represents
yeah, I used
everybody.
To be part of like that whole thing, so I did the
a bunch of my friends in college.
Yeah,
did
I did
that
I did the day of silence
thing.
For that. But no, that was the don't hate thing. That was that's actually separate. But
I thought it was all the same.
Was it? It might have come from that, but originally, when I was in high school, they used to do Days of Silence, where it was basically anybody who was part of the Gay Straight Alliance would be silent.
Did you hear about the
baseball
player?
It was a way to get out of doing school.
Charged with hate crime in New York City.
No.
It was I'm gonna have to look this up.
You don't have to look it up. Let's talk.
We're gonna talk about something else.
Yeah.
But anyway,
It was Delman Young.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. He's
what
like he. He thoroughly insulted some Jewish people.
Oh, now I'm pissed.
In New York City.
What?
And New York City has actually charged him with a hate crime. He could go to prison for this and not play baseball.
Somebody told me they were going to bring back like the Brooklyn team or something.
No. What they're talking about basketball.
The Nets or something, yeah.
The basketball. Because right now the New Jersey Nets are going away. They're not
good.
In New Jersey anymore.
And
they're
I heard
Brooklyn.
That Brooklyn's going to get
I don't out. Know if they're going to be the same name or not, the New Jersey Nets or the
I think Brooklyn Nets.
Nets
is cool. I think that sounds cool.
It
but
sounds
yeah,
all right
we're
to
on a, we're off on a tangent again, but I just thought, I heard about that when you were talking about making fun of New York. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
But no, that like, how can you possibly, that's the only place where Jews exist anymore.
New York?
Why would you make fun
honestly,
of that?
Honestly, you go to New York and you see more Hasidic Jews than in Israel.
I know. I agree. Like, the Hasidics, the Chabadists, the the Tzaddik or whatever, those are the Hasidic rabbis, it's absurd, how we're just sort of outnumbered. Like, I wish there were more Jews in other areas, but, like, you know, 1% of the, or less than 1% of the population.
Listen, doesn't exactly, you know what, though? They've brought New York great things, like bagels.
Bagels, bialys, knishes, everything, everything good about food in New York is because of Jews. I agree. Yeah. And Italians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And occasional other, you know,
it's true. And if ethnic groups. Yeah. And if they weren't there, you know, it wouldn't be a city that pretty much spoke.
But you know what though, Falls Everybody's... Church, I'm gonna give a nod to Tommy here. Falls Church
is all Asians.
You know, well, there are a lot of Vietnamese people in Falls Church, and that's why they have such great food.
Or I like to call it Asiandale.
I thought Annandale was Koreans.
It's Koreans.
Well, Centerville is also Koreans.
I've been to a Banh Mi place in Annandale before. I mean, there's places there.
Anyway, off on a random
tangent. Yeah, that was a really
local ethnic divisions.
Yeah. What else was there today?
You know what, guys?
What, Tommy?
I've been listening to you guys for 50 minutes, rant, shout about shit. Yeah. I have no clue what the fuck you guys are talking about.
Really?
Well, it's funny because we were talking, you know, off microphone a little while ago, and Tommy was talking about how much he's learned from listening to us talk.
When did he say that?
He said it a few days. It was a number of days ago.
You're a liar. You're lying. He's learned nothing.
He has learned some stuff, I'm sure, about politics and about pop culture.
Who is Alan West?
Some dude that both of you hate.
Whoa, yeah, hold on.
Whoa, I think Patrick loves him. Why did you
get that I hate Alan West?
I don't know.
Alan West is a patriot, you motherfucker.
Maybe
I probably shouldn't say that to our producer.
No, the fact is, like, I've done more research in Alan West recently. I don't know if we care about getting back to this, but, like, I respect him a little more, though, because the fact is he doesn't toe party lines. He is on occasion, not very often, but when 90% of the Republicans do not side with Obama, he's actually sided with him on defense cuts and a certain amount of other things. And I think that, you know, good for him for not saying that he votes with these people, because you don't want to vote on party lines, especially when it comes to Republicans.
Well, I think it's dangerous for both sides. Now we're in the closing minutes of our podcast.
It is. If you're
a Democrat or a Republican and you say, I vote along Republican lines, or I vote along Democrat lines, you're inviting yourself to get thrown out and replaced with someone who votes outside.
And I think as a citizen, you should apply that to yourself too. Like, my dad used to feed me this tripe about, and like not to insult him, like, you know, as a person, but this philosophy of where he said basically, where I said, oh, I want to vote for maybe a third party, or maybe I want to vote for the Republican, or maybe I want to abstain this election. He said, any of those choices, you're voting for the Republicans. I was like, well, yeah, I mean, in the one choice, I actually said I'd be voting for a Republican. And he's like, well, yeah, but any of those choices, though, you are voting for the Republicans. And I'm like, well, that's a terrible way to think about it. It might be true, but I don't want to think about that in terms of my vote. If I vote for a third party, I don't want to think. Like, I don't want to, you know, I guess you can acknowledge it, but you can also be like, well, I'm taking a stand to vote for this guy.
Well, I look
because
at this.
I think that, you know, it was like in the I shouldn't have voted for Kerry. That's sort of my thing. I ended up voting for Kerry and I regretted it.
I wasn't old enough to vote for that fucker.
I mean, like, it wouldn't have done any good.
I wouldn't have voted for him anyway.
It wouldn't have done any good, so I wish I voted for, like, Nader or something. I don't know.
At least get your point across.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, you know, it's...
Or the Green Party.
There are a lot of people on the conservative and Republican, either way, talking about how if you don't vote for Romney, you're voting for Obama.
And that's probably technically true.
It is technically true, but I understand that people, and I'm not saying that you should vote for one person over another person.
Yeah.
But my primary goal in terms of voting is to get people to vote.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Well, because not just to vote, to be educated, though. I mean, like, I think everybody
to be educated about who you're voting for.
About, yeah.
And to know that if you vote for, you know, candidate A over candidate B, what you're purportedly getting from these people.
All right, and we love this shit, so we, like, follow it when the primary just starts. But most people are probably only now starting to follow the election. And
I think that's okay because, you know, the Republican primary, as it was very interesting to follow,
was a fucking circus.
It was a circus. Now you've gotten down to basically the two candidates. Once Gingrich gets
Herman
out,
Cain
he's out
quoting, like, Pokemon movie soundtracks.
Did you have something? Like,
no, I mean, that's a trend. I mean, that's what the American public does. They follow the next person.
It's like, true.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh, it's these two fucking people.
Well,
I would say 50% of the country doesn't even know what the hell happened in the primaries. They don't even know that there are
other candidates. And some of them probably don't care either.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember when I was a kid, like, I would say, like, you know, 17 and younger, I had no fucking idea what was going on. Like, I didn't even know
primaries existed.
I didn't pay attention. I didn't know. I didn't even vote in the first primary I was available to vote in Virginia. Although, I don't really believe in primaries that much anyway. I'm just like, you know, let them decide. I'll figure out what candidate I like at the end. And that's sort of how I go by it. Like, because I don't want to register as a Democrat, so I don't want to have to, and I think in Virginia, or at least they used to have to register as a Democrat in Virginia.
In Virginia, if you want to vote in either primary, you have to register as that
which
party.
Is why I never wanted to do that.
It's not an open primary, and, I mean, that's a whole nother debate we could have about open versus closed primaries.
So, just everybody, get your dicks out of your asses and vote. That is my message.
Yeah, I mean, if that's too crude for you, this is like our version of Rock the Vote. Or, if you're the NRA, trigger the vote.
What?
Trigger the vote.
Yeah.
Dude, Arlie Ermey.
Let's murder that fucking vote. NRA for life.
Trigger the vote, not shoot the vote. It's trigger the vote.
Hey, guns don't kill votes. People do, I guess.
What? You don't kill votes. They're not an entity. All right, well, we're out of time.
We are out of time.
But we've had another great hour of discussion between the two men shouting and a couple other guys. Yes. We want to thank Jed and Sarah for sitting in and listening to our podcast.
Also, just remember to follow us on Twitter at ZombieMoses.
And at DingPat.
And give us reviews on iTunes for how kick-ass we are and get your dick out of your ass.
Because we think we're pretty kick-ass.
Just saying that also, again. I want that to be my catchphrase.
Also, Ben's Chili Bowl. Sponsor us. I want to try some chili dogs.
This part's just for you, Ben's Chili Bowl. Sponsor us.
All right.
Subliminal.
Until next time, guys. Have a great week.
This is me, Brandon, signing off.
And Patrick.
Good night. And good something.
Bye.
Bye.
I still don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about.
What does that mean?